people want to be perfect and polished when they're being presented. Why is that, Posse? Why is that?
Because we were taught at an early age that there is right and that there's wrong. Oof. Yeah. So when you present something that's unfinished or incomplete or not as polished, it falls in the category of it being incorrect or wrong.
Can we get back to the rough draft? Can we get back to those? Can we get back to like...
Can we get back to the rough drafts?
Get the sketch. Can we get sketchy real quick? Can we just like...
Maybe that's why sketch comedy has persisted. This is just me talking out of my butt. It's the joy of working on something that's not as polished as like a pure rotten.
Yeah, it's just like a segment or like a moment in time. Like I just had this idea. Didn't have to be anything more, anything less. Yeah. Just
and
you, this.
And in the performance of sketch comedy, anything can come out of that.
I love that
sketch with Chris Farley when he's like playing this woman trying to like not eat, and David Spade's character reaches for like a French fry, and you know Chris Farley's playing like a petite girl, and he goes
naturally,
right? And he says, don't touch that or something like that. Like I'm gonna eat. I don't know. Like drops into this like deep voice,
yeah.
And you could see the cast really trying to pull it together.
I love those.
And I suspect that during the rehearsal, I'm sure there's an anecdote of this. I suspect during that rehearsal for that, maybe Chris was using like a girlier voice,
yeah.
And in the performance, because you have that audience, right? Like you're pumped. New choices come to you.
Or he did that and it was still funny.
Yo.
You know?
I could see that happening. Like, it's still hilarious. Because, yeah, you're right.
Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking, like, if I was in that cast and I had laughed in rehearsal and they're like, keep it. And then we did it again and I heard the audience laugh, I would also feel like.
Or if they just amped it up, you know, they might have done it and you're just. You're like, right. You know? You just don't, you never know. You have to be there. And, like, I think of Jim Carrey, like, I think he came up with Ace Ventura in Living Color, and that became its own movie.
Oh, is that what happened?
From there, yeah.
Oh.
A lot of sketches turn into stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's some live long and some don't.
Austin Powers. That was a sketch.
That's right, because he was making fun of Lorne Michaels, right? That's who well, he was curious about like the old spy films.
Yeah.
But I love that he based Lorne Michaels or Dr. Evil.
Yeah.
As Lorne Michaels. That's so good.
Right.
But that's interesting because we'll get into it, but who are you?
That was just a smile and a turn. I thought your brain would be like,
I know. I wanted to get right into the topic, but I'm like, you know what? For those of you who are out there listening, watching, who don't know who we are, allow us to introduce ourselves.
I'm David Morales. You can find me everywhere at Active Poet.
My name is Tossi Alabastro. You can find me everywhere at Tossi Alabastro. And this is Art Time Job.
Our podcast for y'all out there, mm-hmm. working and inspiring artists from working artists.
Hey. We switched it up, huh, on that,
yeah.
one. Well, that was weird.
Wait. I just felt it. I went for it.
Wait,
like you have to do in this career, because that's what we're talking about. You have to go for it.
You have to go for it. Yeah, way to go with the flow on that one.
Thank you.
I'm impressed, actually.
Thank you. Yeah. You were going to talk about something, but brain was like, let's introduce ourselves first.
I don't know. I'm hungry, I think, is where I am. Yeah.
It's about midday right now while we're doing this.
I going to say?
I'm not in your brain. Sometimes that's right. I wish I was in people's brains. You're one of the people I feel like I would have a great time in their brain.
I'd have a little safe ride for you in there.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Like you might get splashed on.
Yeah.
But you're not going to like break anything.
I feel like I might go like, well, I'd be like, I wonder what this would be. You'd be like, no. I'd be like, I'm curious.
Yeah. And it'll lead you somewhere.
Yeah.
There's no exit or there's no do not enter areas.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just enter slowly.
Wow.
What? What? Wow. What is even happening?
Wow.
Okay, our topic today
is about your career as an artist.
Yeah, we're talking about career things.
Yeah, career things.
Which is a lot because I feel like this whole podcast series is kind of career related, but
yeah,
I think in this particular one we really want to talk about, it's weird because we never really started an episode saying like what we want to talk about, but no. But I think for this one it bears saying that because the career is such a broad topic and
yeah,
artists come in and out of their career,
yeah,
and that oftentimes that can lead to like a sense of self-betrayal, right? I'm burned out. Like classic example, I'm burned out. I'm not going to chase this dream anymore because it hurts too much.
Yeah.
To continue. So I'm going to do something else entirely different. And you know what? For some of those folks, they discover something new that they like and that they are able to, you know, find stability, whatever that looks like for them. And good for them, right? But it does suck that there is this interesting model of like persistence that if you keep doing great things, keep doing the best that you can do, and you stay in there long enough, you're gonna build a network.
Yes.
Just by nature of being around it.
Yes.
And through that network, people are gonna believe in you.
Agreed.
And through that belief, they're gonna find other people who can put you in a place where you can have, I don't know, more creative, not creative freedom, but whatever you is your form of success is for your artistic / business career.
Yeah. I love that. You said a lot.
I did say a lot.
I wanted to go off a couple tangents, but I was like, he's in the stew right now. He's in the soup.
In my brain, I was like holding the little period.
Yeah.
Going, where do I drop this?
No. That's a comma.
That's a comma. All right. Drop.
Why is there another period? Yeah, I just dropped one. There's another one. I love that.
Anyway.
Yeah. The career of an actor, career of any artist, actually.
Yeah.
I think it's also making that adjustment in your brain that like, this is what you want to do forever. And I think for everyone out there just to.
Forever is scary.
But like, I wrote this in like a line that like, I never plan to retire.
Oh, okay.
Because I feel like with regular careers or regular jobs that are not artist related, you're like, oh, I got a pension. I plan to stop at a certain age and just chill for the rest of my life. But us being artists, we found this beautiful thing that like we love so much that like I can't see myself without it. I know we have an identity outside of who we are. Like acting is what I do. I'm not just an actor. You know, there's more complex versions of me. But I think like just making that choice, which whatever you guys want to do out there, is this a hobby or is this what you want as a career? There is a financial component to your artistry if you want to make a career out of it.
Yeah.
If it's just a hobby, that's cool. I love that for you. But if you want it to be a career, there's steps you got to take for it to be a career long lasting. When you're talking about a network, you can't be a dick. I'm sorry, you can't.
You can have strong opinions about your personal work and the agency of your work, but the moment that you really start to kind of enforce that onto others as your way or the highway, that's like the first step of dickery.
Yeah, you, first step dickery. Be the other one. The other one's way better. Nobody dislikes the other one, you know?
No.
They're great.
Best thing someone can say is like, oh, I really loved working with that person. Like, I think the times that I've heard someone say, oh, they're super talented, but...
Exactly.
And then dot, dot, dot. Like, I don't want... Okay.
Yeah.
I'd rather have the, oh my God, that person, yo, they're so fun to work with.
Yeah, yeah. And they might not even be the best, but like just having them around.
Makes you better?
Exactly.
Too? And
exactly.
Makes a long day, you know.
That's interesting.
Bearable.
You're bringing that up because there are some people who might have the skills and being around them, you might level up because you're like better than them. But I find myself in the competitive state of like, you're not a nice person. No one likes being around you. I want to get better than you.
Uh-huh.
So I can be around and make sure everyone's having a good day and
sure.
You will not be around.
Yeah.
That's the competitive side. When I see that type of person in a higher status than me, I'm like, oh, just wait till I get there.
Yeah.
And you'll be extinct. Just wait.
Right.
You know?
I want to take this moment to just shout out I'm going to drop a name. Someone who I think is incredibly talented.
Okay.
And in a tremendous joy to have around while you're working.
I'm right here, dude.
Present company notwithstanding. This is a given. This is why we're doing this podcast together, bro. You're in my room at the moment.
You're right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're in my current stew until we get a different one. But
God.
I know. I know. Max Takis.
Oh, I love Max.
I gotta throw flowers that way.
And he's talented too. He's not just a great person.
Superbly talented. But like elevates the sense of artistry and kind of compassion in the room when they're there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think you're lucky if you get to experience that. And then you could take that as like a kind of barometer for the next time you go to work someplace. Like, oh, I could either try to look for someone like that in this workplace, or I could just be that.
Yeah.
So win-win, I think.
Man, Max has been there for a long, for a bunch of points in my career.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I auditioned to be an elf on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Because he just did Sandland Diaries.
Twice.
Like,
he did it twice.
I was like, if there's any elf advice I can get from the world, is from Max. And he helped me from that audition, got me the big callback.
Is that right? Yeah. I didn't even know about this. Okay, we got to talk about that when we get him here as a guest at some point.
Yeah, and then when I did Shakespeare for the first time recently, he was super gung-ho. Be like, let's break it down.
Wow.
And he taught me like his favorite tips and tricks. So shout out Max Tackless. It's those things that like, I don't know if you know if they mean everything to you, but they mean everything to me as an artist. So it's like taking those time.
Yeah. It's like teachers and mentors.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
And I always think we're students and teachers to each other. Like anytime I have stuff, I'm like, Tossie, I learned this. And you're like, oh, Dob, I learned this. You know, it's always good to share with your community.
I think that's an interesting kind of misnomer about mentor and mentees, that your mentor doesn't have to be older than you.
Oh, yeah.
And I say this from a place of, that's what I thought when I was in my 20s. That word mentor always felt like someone had to be older. But that, I think that bit was because I was in my 20s. I didn't know any better.
Yeah, everyone was older than you.
Yeah, exactly. And remember a story I had where I skipped first grade, and so everyone was older than me. So, yeah, I mean, you can have a mentor for a very specific subtopic in your life. True. So there's that. You don't have, it's not a one and done or one and all.
Speaking of mentors, what's something a mentor in this field has given you that you have held on to?
I don't know if they've given it to me directly or just over the course of time. That's how I interpreted this relationship, right? I think it's the sense of always be willing to ask a question. Yes. And I'm not the best question asker in a room sometimes, like specifically when we're talking about like table work, I'm not very good at asking questions. Oh, yeah. It's something I'm working on, but I am good at asking questions in the bigger picture of the arts career. Mm-hmm. Right. So like in the room, you might see me processing information, right? I might not ask a question, go home, think about it, sleep on it, and then come back and not need to ask a question because I've already solved it in my own mind.
Right.
And that's part of it too. But I like listening to other actors ask their questions because I'm like, oh, okay, interesting. You thought about it that way. So it gives me an insight into who they are. Totally. Like there's I won't say names, but there's an actor who I've worked with a couple times and they're incredibly talented. They're working, and no matter which room I've been in with them, I've heard them ask this question multiple times. When a director gives a note, or you know, there's something happening in the scene, I've heard them say, that's interesting. Can you expand on that? Can you clarify that for me a little bit more? Like, what are you asking for? Like, so he's incredibly direct. And I think that sense of directness is not something that is natural to a lot of people, especially in a room where your peers are there.
Yeah.
And I think going back to what we were saying, we don't want to look like a unpolished thing.
Yeah.
This is a person who's willing to be like, whether or not they themselves don't know the answer or they're saying it on behalf of everyone else that may not speak up. Amazing.
Yeah,
because there are in multiple situations, I'm like, that's a question I kind of had, but it didn't feel important enough. But here they are, a more successful actor asking this question. Please explain that a little bit more. I'm having trouble understanding. Or I'm like, that's a beautiful question because it reframes the question for the director in a way that's not just, here's what I want from you, but let me now think about what I just said.
Yeah.
And sometimes I've noticed the director will have a different response to that.
Of course.
And it's actually more useful. I'm like, that's beautiful. And I know it's a little off tangent from the mentorship thing, but
I don't think it is.
Going back to the bigger question about, that is what I learned, is just to be better about asking questions in general.
I love that.
So what about you?
I got you. Yeah. But first, I want to comment on what you said, because I don't think there are stupid questions, even though there are stupid questions.
There's time-wasting questions.
There are time-wasting questions. But I think there is a difference, because I've been in the room with those people, and I'm like, oh, great question. I was like, right? Man. But then I've also been in the room where people, before they ask the question, they're defensive, be like, I don't know if that would. I'm like,
oh, you know, here we go.
I know you were confused, and I know you also didn't agree with the choice, but could you ask a director where not all of us are like, why would you say that? You're obviously saying, I don't want to do that. Let's do something else. And I'm like,
subtext, hashtag subtext.
But it's like, not that sub. I'm like, you might as well have said, I don't want to do that. You know?
Yeah.
Why would the character do that? I'm like, what? Don't ask that question. Oh my God. You know, I'm like, there's such a...
That's for you. That's for the actor to justify.
Yeah. Figure out what the director means by that. What do you mean by that? Can you explain more? I thought my character was like, you could say something like that. You know,
right.
It's just how you frame questions.
Yes.
That's a good tip I've learned, like framing questions. And I think I have like a superpower of just observing situations, because every time we do readings, I don't speak up as much either, because sometimes I'm not the smartest person in the room, and I love that.
That's a good place to be.
I learned so much, and people like phrase these questions like so smart, and I'm just like, I'm like, you are intellectual on a level that, like, how did you critical think that in like what time, you know? But it was great.
Yeah. What time?
I was like, we're like reading this at the same time. How did you come up with that?
But I'm so impressed by some of these questions they ask, because it's how do I describe it? It's asked in such a way that you've thought about this character from this angle.
Yeah.
And this story.
It's their perspective.
Yes. Beautiful. And it's like, wow, that's amazing.
But something I've learned for sure while doing this is, I think I've learned this from not seeing it in my mentor. And it's letting go. I think especially a lot with, I mean, theater, we have a time crunch, right? You can't hold on to everything forever, because that limits you of your choices. You have a limited amount of rehearsal time. Like, got to try things. What feels good? Perfect. But like, don't just be like, it has to be this way. And then the same thing with music. I notice with like a lot of, you know, people coming up, like I hold on to a lot of my music. I've been doing that lately. But I plan to release it all. I'm just learning on the marketing. But I notice for a lot of people, like, it will take them forever to like put out something, or they'll erase it because it has to be perfect. And each time I'm talking to these people, I'm like, is this your last song you're ever going to create? And they're usually like, no. And I'm like, then why are we stressing so much about this? Why are you taking it down? Why don't you want to put it out? Why do you keep rewriting on this? I'm like, I get it. We're all trying to get better. But like, there's ways to get better rather than be like, no, this has to be the song. This has to be everything. I'm like,
yeah.
Just same thing for the self-tapes. Does it make you happy? Do you like one thing in there, like enough to be like, I can move on to the next?
Yeah. Again, it goes back to, I think, the sense that people are going to judge it as a right or wrong.
Yeah.
But art's not like that, right?
Yeah.
Which is why I think... I don't see this in music all that much, or theater at all. But an interesting practice that I've seen a lot of like visual artists do is that they'll label stuff just a work in progress.
I love
WIP.
That. WIP.
Yeah. And it, I think it, oh, in theater, there is a version of that, previews.
Yeah. Previews.
Right. But I could see it for like music. You're not going to, it's like, oh, I only have one verse for this track, but here's the whole track. You're not really going to, that's not. You're not going to do that to the public. You'll do that to like a producer or another, a collaborator. But it's interesting to see artists, especially now in the digital age, right? You could just post whatever you want. Just be like, this is a work in progress. I'm like, okay. And I like it.
It's cool. Yeah.
It's cool.
The problem with that too is if people do like it, then you're like, oh, now I got to finish it. You know, like now. Yeah. And that's the pressure cooker of like, I don't think music or art period likes to be rushed. Like, it's cool to put a timeline on stuff, but... I don't think it likes to be rushed.
No, there are some commercial artists who like it, but I think generally art doesn't like to be rushed. Otherwise, you just get a printer.
Yeah.
Right.
Or just hire the band Rush, you know?
I know no songs from Rush. I know the band, but I don't know any songs from Rush.
Neither. You had, we were talking about perfectionism.
Yeah.
And you said there's like a Japanese culture norm about that?
Yeah, I think it's more about like the discipline of reaching perfection, but knowing you'll never be perfect. And that the acceptance of that. I don't know what the Japanese word is. And I'm sure it's not just Japanese, but like if you noticed in Japanese culture, at least I'm not Japanese in any way, but like looking into it, you go, oh yeah, you could name like these master artists who all they do is this one thing. They never deviate, just do this one thing. Like I guess a good example would be like sushi. They're like the sushi training from what I've read, like you could spend 2 years just doing the rice, which is the most important part of sushi.
Is it?
It is. That sushi rice has to be perfect.
Not the seaweed?
No.
Just kidding. The rice.
Not the kelp.
I mean,
kelp? Like, but yeah, the rice, you spent 2 years, like their training programs, like 2 years before you're even.
Dang.
But that might be a thing for a lot of kitchens, right? Like you do soups for.
Yeah.
But there is something to be said about like, yeah, you dedicate your whole life to perfecting this craft instead of, you know, oh, I'm a carpenter, but also, I don't know.
Voiceover artist.
You can do both. I mean, like, what's his name? The guy from Parks and Rec / HBO. Ron, no. Never mind. Anyway, you can do both. I mean, it's really about, I think, deciding for yourself what works for you.
Yeah.
And I think if you're not in that culture, obviously you're not going to really be surrounded by it. So it's interesting to, I love personally the idea of like, I just do this one thing, but that's not in my nature.
Yeah.
And I have to kind of go with that, right? Like I'm also a very curious person.
I'm so curious.
Yeah. And so I gotta check that out. Yeah. Oh, I gotta touch this, or I gotta try this. But in my mind I'm like, oh gosh, I wish I could just be interested in one thing and one thing only, and it'd be like the amazingness. Yeah. Master of it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a book I read called The 5 AM Club. Mm-hmm. And they said there is a lot of competition at ordinary, mm-hmm. but not a lot at the extraordinary
level. Oh, that's so good.
Because you see, like, I mean, you and I have talked about discipline. Yeah. We believe only the disciplined are free. But you see it, like, when people are at that level, there is a careless to them because they're, like, not competing with their peers. They might be, like, being like, let's have fun with this one. With each other, like, it's a small little thing, but, like, everyone else, like, they don't see as competition. They're like, I ain't competing with you, bro. Like,
yeah,
settle down.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait till you get up here.
Yeah,
see
exactly.
How it is,
yeah.
You know?
I mean, you see Olympians.
Yeah.
That's the top of the top.
And what you said also reminded me of something I heard was like, I don't know where, you know, the internet. I'd be hearing a lot of things on the internet. But it was like an art teacher was talking about making the perfect bowl.
Okay.
And she was
bowl.
Like
a cereal bowl?
Like a bowl. Like I was in like art class.
Okay. Okay.
What is it? What is it when you make? Pottery? Let's go pottery.
Sure. Yeah,
it's a pottery class.
Yeah, okay. You're making a bowl.
We're rocking with this metaphor. Let's get it. And she split up the class and she said, this side of the room, I want you to make 100 bowls.
Mm-hmm.
This side of the room, I want you to just make one perfect bowl.
Oh.
And out of that, who do you think had
the hundred ones?
Yeah, because you have to get your repetition up. Yeah. You have to fail. You have to like get it right. There was more perfect bowls out of the 100 side.
I'll add to that. Bruce Lee said, "I don't fear the man who has practiced 1,000 kicks one time. I fear the man who's practiced one kick 1,000 times." Like, oh
man,
because I was like, oh,
there's something about those quotes that repeat the same words but different.
They're simple, but they're
like The Rock. I heard him on this talking the other day, and he was like, I'll keep it simple, y'all.
This is your rocking
one day or day one, one day or day one.
Wow,
and I was like, how is that so profound by just flipping this? What does that do?
My question is, does that profoundness
come from his bald head?
Yeah. Yeah. It does. It shines through.
I can hear his veins saying it.
His veins talking out loud. Does that, I mean, obviously you and I sound, we find that very profound, but I'm wondering, is that a profound statement for people who aren't in the arts?
You're so curious about that. And I think we're going to have to do a season where we're like on the street interviewing people who are not.
Yeah, you noticed that, huh?
Associated with art. You're like, I wonder what they think.
Yeah. Because I'm always curious about the best metaphor I ever heard, or analogy, I don't know, is when you're in the giant's footprint, you don't know you're in a footprint.
Wow.
Because you're in it, right? So you can't really look around you and be like, I'm in a footprint. You have to be in a helicopter, or you have to be in elevator position to look down and go, oh, wow, that was a giant's footprint.
That's cool.
So when you're in it that deep, it's easy to get lost and not know what's around you. So I guess for me, I'm always curious about the, not the what ifs I was not an artist, but rather how the minds of non, how other minds work.
Yeah. And I honestly think like that team element of a career is essential, because a lot of times when we're so deep in it, we can't see what we can't see, you know, because we're like, no, this is this. And they're like, no, you haven't opened up to this. Because I think of the Bay Area, us being here, is like, there's such a cool intersection that should happen, but I don't know why it doesn't, of like tech and art, that like, we're right here.
Yeah.
We're all right here.
Yeah. Yet.
Why is it not a thing?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's because we don't have a lot of long time working multidisciplinary artists who are specifically in tech and art.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, maybe a lot of tech people who are interested in art, more interested in art, so they can just be like, "Yo, where are my artists at in the Bay?" And we can be like,
"Right here." That's what it takes. Yeah, because I know a lot of artists who are interested in tech.
Yeah. But, exactly. But I am too. I'm like, I know there's so much magic behind this computer, behind this phone, but like, do I really have to learn?
I'll throw you an idea. Next time you do like a public music video, you should hire an AR artist to create assets for you that's in that space.
Yeah.
So that when they, so then they watch your music video, and if they're in that space, they can interact with things. That's just,
see that doesn't seem fun to me. It sounds cool, but I'm just like,
I'm thinking about it from the audience.
And that's what I need to start thinking about sometimes. I'm like, what would be fun for the users? Like, that's why people go on lives and like do all this stuff, because they're like, oh, do this. I'd love to see you do this. Oh, this sound effect pops up. Like, I don't think of that stuff. But like, sometimes I need to think about the audience and not be like, I'm an artist. This is what I feel right now. This is what I want to
do. I mean, everything in moderation.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah.
There's a little bit of both. Do you ever think that some people join being an artist because it's cool?
Oh, yeah. I think so. I think some people have bought into, for, you know, for their own reasons, I got to look. I think being an artist is cool. That lifestyle is like suitable or whatever, not knowing that, you know, a lot of challenges. Well, I mean, there's challenges in every type of lifestyle, but whether you're suited for it or not is a different story.
As I heard before, life's hard, choose your hard.
Oh, that's so good. You know what I don't subscribe to?
What?
The struggling artist scenario.
But we are.
But the struggle is inherent to the career.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
But what I'm saying is, like, I don't feel like I need to suffer the lowest low to create the highest version of my art.
Oh, no. I don't believe that either.
Yeah, I think if you're creative and you're able to take whatever you're feeling at the moment and make that a relatable experience / you know, have something to say about it, that's amazing. That's a skill.
I also wonder, in this world that I'm learning is, like, all about story and, like, you know, some of the actors, not actors, some of the artists, television personalities, all these people, sometimes they're not the greatest talent, but they have the best story.
Oh, man.
And I wonder how many of, like, stories were just a little bit tampered with to be creative nonfiction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, when they're like, this artist slept in their car. And maybe it was, like, one night where they're like, they got a flat tire and they slept in their car, but like they made it seem like years on end, like slept in their car.
They're the author of their stories. So,
you know,
I mean, Seven Buck Productions.
But also like PR was like, oh, we're going to stretch this.
Oh, what a great pitch though, right? Because that's relatable. And I think that's, I mean, not related to anything. Well, maybe related. That's what makes, I think, some of the most successful YouTube creators, at least in the last few generations, you know, you watch a video and you're like, oh man, I want to get into making videos.
Yeah.
Because they make it in that interesting way of like, God, this looks so like I could do it.
Yeah, that's what TikTok got me.
Yeah. And then you try it and you realize quickly whether you can or not, right?
Like, this is true.
You know, oh, I bit off more than I can chew with this video, or
yeah. And also sometimes that's a good first hurdle. It's like, mm-hmm. do I want to get good enough to get the results that I desire? Or is this where I'm like, this is not for me.
It's good. It's good right you here. Know? Yeah, yeah.
And there's a lot of things like that I've tried where I'm like, eh, not for me. But this, but I'm like, yes.
Right.
You know, like stuff in nature, not for me.
You've tried?
You know, I like regular camping, hate it.
Yeah.
I need to glamp.
How do you feel about public biking with other people?
That's fine. I just think like hills and stuff like that, mm-hmm. not cool. Like, I like strolling. Like, if we're just like strolling, like me and my girl have like, rode bikes, you know, taking pictures, just like kicking it. That's fun. But sure. like competitive, like short, everything, compressed, everything. Not for me.
Mm, okay. I got you.
I'm not trying to be Lance Armstrong.
I'm good. I mean, I don't know if anyone wants to be Lance Armstrong at this point.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think to be completely candid, I think I'd join being an artist, at least music, for the aesthetic.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't think drama, because I was never praised for being a drama kid in school.
You were praised for being funny.
Yeah, for like my need or like want to entertain people. Like even in class, being the class clown, like that was always like, mm-hmm. I like making people laugh. And if I can make the teacher laugh, like ooh, 8 bonus. Points.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Oh, I got don't need sauce. An apple.
So I was like, yeah. You gotta tell me.
He's got the apple sauce.
I ain't going to hit all the time, but when I hit,
yeah.
I hit.
I mean, how many weeks of their school? So you got, yeah, plenty of opportunities.
And I've gone to detention many times, you know? Well, it came with it, but
yeah, yeah. Tough crowd. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, definitely being music for sure. Like at first, like I love the way it feel and just a collaboration, because I used to collaborate with my friends all the time.
Yeah.
But then I remember I really liked this girl, and I remember writing a song for her, never showed it to her. Uh-huh. But then there was another girl who was like my best friend, quote, at the time, like one of them.
Uh-huh.
And I remember like I was getting up away from this phase with like, man, everyone thinks I'm just a nice guy. Like no one wants to give me any time of day. Da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. And I remember just writing some like bars to her, mm-hmm. and she was like, wow, where'd these come from? And I was like, where did this come from, you know? And of course you see rappers and like musicians like always with girls around. I'm like, man, why can't that be me, you know?
Yeah.
And I think later on in my life I'm like, okay, there's more than just like the pursuit of women. But maybe that's just like every young teenage boy who just wants to chase women.
I mean,
and using the art to elevate that.
Yeah, if it's well, I was just, I don't know why my mind went to Kendrick Lamar and like his first album
had I'll fact check you. Go ahead.
What Mad City?
Yeah.
Good Kid, Mad City? Good Kid, Mad City.
Technically his first album, but
he had an
80. Everyone's like, maybe that's, keep going.
Yeah, but like that one had a girl at the very beginning, and kind of like Charaine. It's a journey. Yeah, it kind of a journey, but I don't think the album was about impressing her, right?
No.
Right. It was just a story of him.
About a girl he was infatuated with.
Yeah. But that's interesting, like, how you say that. So do you, so as far as music, you think it's like, there's a cool factor to it.
Of course. I've definitely gotten, like, I'm not going to lie to any of y'all. There's like a cool factor to being a musician that like,
yeah,
I think people feel. It's like,
is it more cool to be aloof as a musician?
I think you could have any look. There's like the grunge look that works really well. There's like the super cool like chains look that works really well. There's like the minimalistic look that looks really well. I think it's just like music.
My mind just saw all these musicians who
all of them
literally
cool.
encompass that.
All of them are cool.
Yeah.
Bowl haircut, spiky haircut, afro, locks, braids, whatever you want, dyed hair. It looks cool to somebody. Mm-hmm, and like, even if I don't understand it, I'm like, yo, that's a vibe. Like, I don't understand it, but like, you're doing it. You're somebody.
Yeah. I feel that way, I guess, when this is that thing of like, when someone's doing something in their element, they always look sexy.
Always. And cool. Always.
Regardless of like, you seen a really good librarian shush somebody like really well, you're like, Like, it gets hot in that library. You gotta get off that floor.
Like in an eating competition, just like really eat,
just
like,
get it down. Just yeah,
get like down those glizzies. Like
those Nathan hot dogs.
You know,
Coney Island hotness.
You know,
yeah. You ever see someone?
librarian shoot somebody. I didn't think that was going there. I love that.
But yeah, there's a. I don't know how many people watch things and go, I want to do that and actually get to that point. And we hear a lot of good stories, but of that happening. But I don't know if I ever heard any story. I don't hear a lot of stories of people going like, man, I am like the top accountant of my company.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to look real cool.
I think that's more like I just want to make a lot of money.
I agree, because I do have an accountant uncle who... That is his goal.
Hey.
I'm like, whoa.
Did he reach it?
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
And that's like...
I don't know his finances, but like to an my observational eye, seems like he has. And
that's good. And
He has shared with me some figures, and I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. But that was the goal from day one.
That's what's up. Day one goal.
Day one.
Maybe that's... Oh, you're leaning back into the rock one.
Yeah. Speaking of leaning into, as a musician who's also in the theater arts, I don't know how often, can you speak on when casting directors call you in because of your musicianship?
Oh, interesting.
Versus like, oh, you're an actor that we've seen you audition. Oh, you also sing. Like,
they're
surprised by the fact that you're also a musician.
I think I always get it that people are like, oh, you do music. Can you sing something? But I'm like, I'm a rapper, which like I can. I've taken musical theater classes. I've been in a bunch of musicals, but like I don't pride myself as a singer. So when people are like, sing something, I'm like, you want me to do something from Hamilton? Like what you want? Like, or do some original stuff? Because it's always like I practice in the studio all the time, just like what I think sounds good. And then I'm like, oh, yeah.
Would you rather a casting director, this is for any casting director that's listening that might have David in the room and wants to ask this question, let me ask you, I guess, and then you can answer. If a casting director said, do you have any bars prepared?
Yeah.
Is that better than saying, can you sing for us?
Yes, because there was a point in my career where I was very upset when people would be like, oh, you rap something for me, like on the spot. I was like, man, this is like the only job that people are like, yo, do this right now. Like, I'm going to go to a lawyer and be like, yo, write me an operation agreement right now.
Litigate right here on the spot.
Yo, therapist, make sure me and Tassi are right right now. Yeah. Like, people want to do that. Architect, draw this for me right now. Yeah. Like, but
actually, the only ones that I know are like acoustic musicians.
Yeah, especially if they have it with them.
Them too. Any party you've gone to in your 20s. Yeah. Come on. It's a guitar in a corner.
Yeah. So like now, I'm at the point, and I've been at the point for like the past 6 something years where like I always have like a 16 ready.
Ooh.
Just because that's somebody you can impress, you can gain a fan that day to somebody who's this person literally lives and breathes this stuff.
He's ready.
So I'm like, I'm ready all the time. So yes, casting directors, if you want to hear my music, I'm ready at all given times.
But it's the matter of the way they ask. That's it seems like.
Well, I think just
differentiating, like, if you had a preference,
rapping from singing, because like just because you rap doesn't mean you can sing. There's plenty of rappers that can't sing, and there's plenty of singers that can't rap. Sorry, I know y'all think you can rap, but like it's the same. We put just as much time into rapping as y'all put into singing. And
she's talking about me.
I'm talking to Tossie. Looking at you.
There's levels to this tiramisu.
But I think a lot. I love having that as like something I can be typecast for.
Yeah.
Because the more I'm in this career, the more I realize, like, once you own your identity and your look and your brand, the more you can just like expose that lane.
Ooh, yeah.
Because
widen it up.
Because theater has messed me up in that way of like, I feel like I can do everything. You know, I'm like, oh, you need an old man? I can be that for you. You know?
Because you assume the role and like, theater can do that because it's all about that transformation.
But I walk into this, like a casting room, and they're like, oh, young, cool, athletic. You know, like, if I know what people want from me, oh, cocky, oh, maybe he's like sensitive and it's got a gritty side, whatever. I can just work on those traits and really like be the best of that. Like, I want to be when they're like, oh, I need Boy Next Door. Oh, what's that one kid from that one show? He was great as that, you know? And a lot of people probably don't like being the same thing over and over, but I mean, that's us as the artists. Same thing with theater. Each time you do it, find something new.
Find like, something new.
You know, hey, this is for you, really. I mean, you just get paid to do it, which is great. But like, this is for you. Like, this is your job.
It's your expression.
People see you for it. It's working.
Yeah.
How do you make it fun for yourself?
Well, I like the, I like what you just said earlier about owning your identity.
Yeah.
So that's a great question for any budding artist, right? Like, what does that mean? And that's in that same category of what's my voice in blank?
Yeah.
What's my voice in photography? What's my voice in music? What's my voice? But like owning your identity, and that is a, and I want to hear from you, like, what do you feel are some of the key points about, like, when you start to learn, start to identify what your identity is?
I've been saying this for a while, and I'm so blessed to have made the album Lighthearted, but I feel like that's like my identity. If I had to wrap up like my brand in like one sentence, no, one word, it'd be lighthearted.
Yeah.
You know, I could tackle deep subjects, but like in a lighthearted manner. And I want to leave you better than I found you, always. I always want to make sure you have a smile on your face, and try to do that through my music. It could be on heavy topics. It could be on really light topics, and we can just go further on it, you know, but with my art as well, like, I'm so sick of the poverty trauma porn that like black and brown people are always in.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to be a superhero in a movie. Can I be like an anime like character? Can I just have like different struggles the that are not, stuff. That has to be like associated with me? Like,
yeah.
Growing up, I used to hate seeing that. That's why I really love Fresh Prince and like Kenan and Kel. I was like, simple problems. A man just wants his orange soda. Can he just get his orange soda? Like,
yeah.
You know?
Well, and simple problems can be big for other people.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm like, I want to see more people who look like me going through like fun things. I'm like, I don't want to see us getting pulled over and more gangster. Like, I'm like, I get it. These things happen, but I'm like, can we maybe like make these kids dream bigger? Like, seeing Barack as a president, I think was more good than bad for anybody in political space who know more political things than I do. I think from a representation point of view, gold.
How about that tan suit, huh?
Sheesh.
Tangate. There was a bit about that on The Daily Show not too long ago, about how big of a deal people made the fact that he wore a tan suit versus, you know, like
the black. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, look at our previous president.
Yeah.
Anyway, topic for a different podcast.
Yeah. How do you feel about, you know, being in this game as long as you have?
Which is not that long generally, but looking back at it now, I'm like, yeah, there's little nooks and crannies that like,
you put in your time. I would say like, if you haven't put in 10,000 hours, you're like an hour away, bro.
Oh, that's weird to think about. Feels good, man.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask, I didn't finish the question. I was just like, being in this game this long. That's all I was saying.
Yeah, it's a very open-ended question.
I was going to say,
I'm too old for this.
Do you personally believe it's persistence that beats talent all day, every day?
Wow, that's a great question. I don't think it's a black and white answer.
Really? I do.
You think it is persistence?
I see.
Okay. Maybe I was overcomplicating.
I didn't want to change it.
And it's such a philosophical. No. It's such a philosophical thing, right? Because I'm just like, I think persistence does. I think because persistence has a lot of things that go with it.
Yeah.
Right. It, patience, obviously, and like the willingness to try new things.
Yeah.
Adaptability.
Yeah.
Flexible mindset. The endurance. And then talent. Talent feels like you don't know what that talent is unless other people identify it for you.
Yeah.
And when you get that, I feel like you rest on your laurels a little more, because other people say you're great, which is nice to hear on occasion. Yep. I get it.
Yep.
But like, when you're persistent, the result of that work and that patience, you have ownership of. And no one can take that away from you.
Facts.
Whereas if you're talented and you spend 10 years people telling you you're talented, and then suddenly you don't work and you don't hear from anybody, then you have your doubts.
Yep.
So Easy answer, persistence.
Yeah. That's what I was hoping you would say, but you surprised me with like, good question. I was like, oh.
I was in an overthinking space.
Oh, but we get there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We get
there. But at the end of the day, it's persistence for sure.
Yeah, because I've totally seen people who are like not the best in like a room, but then, you know, book and continue booking. I'm like, what's going on?
That's me.
No, that's not you. That's not you. But I will say I love, like I don't, when I say not the best, I'm not saying like, oh, they shouldn't get the role, because obviously they did something to get the role. So I'm not hating on that, but I love following people and seeing them get better. I'm like,
man, that's all you want. You know, that's all like, you want for them.
I love seeing people get better. That's why anybody watching this, I highly recommend train, train, train. Like, regardless if that's just like throwing yourself in work or like hiring a mentor, taking classes, like the best way to get better is surrounding yourself with people who either want to get better, equal mindset, or people who are better than you.
100 bowls.
100 bowls, baby.
100 bowls, 100 bowls. Yeah. I don't want to do that line. 100 bowls.
100 bowls.
Get your 100 bowls in.
I'm trying to think of what else do I want to say to these people about the career.
I mean, I would love if we got questions from folks like...
Oh, yeah.
Curiosities about...
Hey.
Anything that you... Hey. Anything you've heard so far or anything that you feel we haven't like touched on... Or even like glazed on, because there's this topic we could spend. I mean, we literally will be spending many episodes talking about this. But if there's anything that's like burning, question you need to know.
Oh, speaking of something burning,
you're on fire.
You're on fire. You know something that my current producers did that meant so much to me, but it was like a small little thing that I feel like if more of us did, it would take us further. Which I need to do.
Please tell.
When we did the show called San Hochella, they made a lineup of all the people performing. They had like two separate stages. It was in like a backyard of somebody's house. It was somewhere on First Street.
Yeah.
Or in the college campus area, maybe Second Street. I don't know. But they had a whole lineup of everyone. And when I was there, I was like looking at some people. I was like, oh, I know this person. Don't know this person. That's all I did.
Mm.
As soon as I showed up, Josh and Rob, they go by Nobody Important, perform right before me. And I saw them right before their set. They're like, are you Active Poet? Hey, you have that song In the City. I hella feel it. And I was like, what? And I was like, oh, dope. I was like, who are you guys? You know, I was like, man, I was like, no. You know, but that alone, them doing a little research into who I was, meant everything. Man. And made me want to talk to them even more. Because after I talked to them, we've made plenty of music since then. But they're like, yeah, after we got that poster, we checked out everyone's Instagram and at least listened to a couple songs. So I do have something to talk about.
I do it all the time.
See? All right. You're a step ahead of me. Because I am just now.
No. I think we're on the same step.
No, we're not. You're doing it. You're doing it all the time. You just said
okay. Gotcha.
I don't do my research.
I thought that was an older thing that you.
No. I mean, it was something that like resonated with me then. But like now I'm like, I really need to do it. Because when I was doing Othello, Johnny Moreno, I was at his opening for Grand Horizons, just on opening night chilling. And he looks at me and he goes like this. And I was like, hey, you're great. He was like, you're about to be Cassio, huh? I was like, how do you know these things? And how do you know me? I've never met you before. Like, what's going on? Like, when people know things and they like invested in you before you invested in them, I'm like, hey, man, hey, I was supposed to know who you are. We're supposed to do this together.
I will own this because I am only sort of, Sam has been good about identifying when I do it, but that is one of my superpowers.
Dude, you do it so well.
Yeah. Like, I'll know. I'll do cursory research on most people, especially if, like, let's say they're in a group photo with, you know, someone I do know. Then what I'll do is I'll, like, it's not really creeping. I don't consider it creeping because I like to know what they're working. I like to know what they're working on. Also, I like to just see what websites people have.
I don't have one.
Sorry, man. Get on that. You might when this comes out.
Oh, I will. But I can't be stalked by Tossie.
Sam does this great thing where like her favorite thing is looking at playbills. And if people have websites on their bio, she always looks.
Oh.
Always.
Good to know.
Yeah. She's good about that. And she'll like, oh, this website's neat. She doesn't have to like look at everything. But she wants to just see. And I don't know if she's always done that or because when we first started dating, I had it on my bio. But my website wasn't live yet.
That's funny.
So I don't know if I had to ask her. But Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that because I feel it's not something I say out loud that I look at.
You do research.
Like, I come prepared to, like, I know who you are. I know who you worked with. I know.
That's so such a great trait,
the
bro.
Last, yeah, the last time we were in the same sphere.
Yeah.
Here's a good example. When I worked at ACT last year, the COVID protocol officer, when we were in our initial meeting and then the subsequent meetings later, I went up to them and I was like, hey, you worked on Archduke, right? I was the stage directions reader. And I recognized them because I took a photo of everybody and I blogged about it.
That's great.
So it was banked. And I was like, they look really familiar. And that was like an interesting thing because, you know, when you go in these spaces, it's easy to, especially if it's your first time there and you're in a different, you know, different tier of whatever it is you're in, it's easy to feel small.
Oh, yeah.
But it's also easier to make other people see that you're a person. So I feel like when I had approached them, that really opened up this kind of like, yeah, we're all people. And like, look at us working.
Yeah.
And look at us sharing this space together.
Again.
Yeah, again. So, and I think they were just an intern. Not just. They were an intern at TheaterWorks at that point. So, yeah, I like to calibrate and get an idea of, or get a general sense of like, oh yeah, you were with like CreaTV or you were with so-and-so.
Great job.
Yeah. This is why I suck with lyrics and song titles, because there's that space in my brain that's for the other stuff.
Oh, that's great. Because I love to do that, like, after I'm on set, try to like follow everyone that day, and I try to like keep up with people, but like, there's a threshold of like something besides the research that I want to get better at is like collaborating with people as soon as I make the connection, as soon as possible. So we have something else to like lock in that connection.
Right.
Because there's a lot of times like I'll be on my Instagram and be like, do I know this person?
Nah,
I'll be
like, exactly.
They look familiar. I'm like,
yeah.
Is it them or their husband's page I'm following? Or is it the girlfriend's face? Like, I'm like, I don't know who do I know in this, you know?
I have a great example that's super recent in your life right now.
What?
James, who you just did something with.
Oh, that. James is cool, thanks.
Yeah, so when I did that commercial I had done, James carried himself in such a professional way that I was like, I feel like I've seen this person before. So I really thought hard about it, and guess what? I found him through you. Because I'd seen your short film where you had a dupe, a shadow yourself.
Yeah.
And I'd seen the name and somehow I recognized it. And so the next day, I brought that up. I was like, hey, you know.
More of the story. I know everybody.
Yeah. I got that from Meg yesterday. We were sitting outside of Academic and just people were like waving at me. And she's like, do you know everyone here? I'm like, nah, not really. You're in an area long enough. Persistence,
baby.
And you work, and you know you're not a dingle. You're not a dick.
Yeah,
You're bound to make some friends.
Yeah, and like that's what I always love. Like the people who I have kept up with, I can always be like, hey, yes, I know you. We can talk, you know. But I definitely want to get better at, you know, researching, and that's what I'm trying to do. Every time I see a show that I like, who's a director, who's a producer, I'm like,
love it.
I got to get on that. And like when you get the blessing in any sides. To like find out who the director is, to find out who the producers are, do that research. I promise you will help you in your auditions if you are an actor, because that helps me.
I will say too, there's a great push these days, and I think it should have always been the case for when you post about shows to post to who the other creatives are. So like the set designer, the lighting designer.
Oh heck yes.
Yeah, especially now with like everything being shared on Instagram, there's this interesting conversation about like. Graham Smith had posted something about this. He's a director in the Bay Area. And he's like, out of curiosity, do some of you designers design things so that they're more Instagrammable? And I'm like, that's a amazing and incredibly relevant to our times question. Because at the end of the day, if you have like 10 people taking photos of your set, and while they don't always credit the set designer, which they should, that might get butts in seats that marketing doesn't have, right? Like, so What a test. Good. Topic for a different day.
Yeah, straight up. Just like locations, like you said, like being somewhere for X amount of time, like where to plant your roots.
That's right.
But yeah, hey, please let us know anything we haven't covered that you might want to know, especially from our point of view, because we have a specific perspective. But yeah, I'm David Morales. You can find me everywhere at Active Poet.
And I'm Tassie Alabastro. You can find me everywhere at Tassie Alabastro. And this has been
Art Time Job. I'm reminding you to make time for your art, because
art saves the world.
What are you about to say? The love?
The love. Can you feel
the love?
Yeah, it was feeling like that. So I was like,